Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Special edition of Twos Talk where we're going to share some stories with the boys. So we got Dino. How are you doing, bud?
Great, Donnie.
Great.
Story time today. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, we do tell a lot of stories offline, but now we get to actually share a few of the funny ones, so this will be good.
Yeah. We should kind of put a 14-plus rating on this one, even though, I don't know. We'll kind of see how it goes. I'm going to have to qualify a few things.
I think you're thinking too much. Yeah, I think you're thinking too much. Yeah. I think we just go.
It occasionally happens.
I don't think you know what? Like, as with most sports teams, the adults sometimes have some adult beverages. And not that all of our stories revolve around that, but I'm not so worried about it being PG because we do a really good job of keeping it PG. I'm more worried about we're going to out some parents today. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about some stuff over the last 7 years, Caroline Chartrand, that some stuff that, you know, it's gonna come out, and maybe people in the program need to know.
I think Brittany and our HR department's going to be very busy in the coming weeks.
We should actually have her listening in.
She might need to be. She might have to go over this before we air. So, Tosh, you're well. You got some stories teed up, I bet.
Yeah, I'm good, buddy. I'm excited. I went through the archives here and pulled out a few, and I definitely have one that's really, really quite embarrassing, scary at the time. Kind of freaked me out a little bit and kind of worried us, but turned out okay. It's kind of a neat little story, and another one that it's just fun, just good times.
It's nice to peel back the curtain for the listeners and the parents who maybe don't know all these stories to hear a little bit of how things actually do go on the road. I find that
especially I think for the new ones, because the new ones will then kind of determine whether they want to hang out with some of these parents or not, right?
Yeah,
you know, that's really what it comes down to. Although every parent that we mention, they're good times.
Yeah, you don't make the list if you aren't good times.
Yeah, you're not a good time if you're not on this list. Exactly right.
And we also have everybody's favorite catcher whisperer, Razor's on the call too. Razor, how you doing, bud?
I'm all right.
Best roomie in the league, so we have some roomie stories, I'm sure, but everybody loves Razor, and we're going to hear some from behind the plate as well. So that's, I find this is what this was all started by, was just swapping stories. So, who wants to lead off this circus?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I can tell the one story about me, and Dino can jump in because he saw the look in my eyes when he showed up at the airport. And this goes right back to our first or second year. Like, it was because it must have been one of our first years. Well, it was obviously one of our first years because we didn't hand out the unis. We took the unis with us to the tournament, and we've gone past that because that was part of the worry. So let's just say it was the first year. It's probably first or second year. But anyways, I'm flying out of Saskatoon. We're heading down to Cali. We're going to Palmdale, actually. So it would have been one of our first 2 years. We're going to Palmdale, Best of the West or whatever tournament it was called.
What's that? Sorry, it was the second year because I didn't go the first year and I was with you.
So. Oh, right. Here's another funny story. Razor can't figure out his computer, otherwise he'd be on the screen right now. But he's not, but whatever. You guys can bug him about that. So I fly from Saskatoon to Calgary. Everybody's kind of meeting in Calgary and we're taking off. Calgary's a bigger hub. And I, for whatever reason, I get there like 5 hours. For everybody else, just probably cheaper flight at the time. And so I thought, well, you know what, I'll just sit in the lounge or do whatever and wait for everybody to come. So I get through, as Dino can attest, I'm let's get through customs. Like, let's go, let's get through.
And then you were a little bit Patty Mac there.
Yeah. My brother's like that very much. Always tapping his watch. Hey, gotta go.
Yeah.
We have 45 minutes till we board, but he's always that way, and that's fine. And he's on the mend, by the way. We'll just update the listeners. Yes. He had a little bit of an episode last week, but he's all on the mend now, so that's great. So anyways, I get to Calgary. I go through customs. So, of course, when you go through customs, you got to show your passport, do all that stuff. And then I go through customs. I throw my bags on the belt because that was back in the day where you had to collect your bags and then wheel them to the belt and throw them off again. Do you have all your bags? Yes, I do. Okay. Wheel them onto the belt and then back through security. And this is, like I said, I had 3-4 hours before anybody else from the team was even going to show up. So I'm probably watching movies on my computer, and I know I went to Timmy's and did all this stuff. And then I don't know why I thought of it, but about an hour before everybody starts to show up, I thought, well, I should get all my stuff together. I can't find my passport. It's gone. I ripped apart my bag. I know I showed it. I wouldn't have got through customs without showing it, so I know I've showed my passport. So panic sets in. First thing I do is I run back to Timmy's. Not there. Next thing I do is I run back to security. Not there. Look through all the bins. Obviously, it's been 3-4 hours, so, you know, the bins have been emptied. They don't have it. I run back.
How did they not find it?
I don't
know.
How
does it not come around on time?
I don't know.
It's got to be there.
Yeah, but don't wreck the story. So then I go back to U.S. Customs. You know, you cross the border. Nope. Calgary City Police. Nope. Nobody's seen this thing. So I'm really panicking because I know that I'm probably not getting on this flight. But I have all the uniforms. It was only me and Dino going, right? I believe. So we were going to be short a coach. So it was like panic was setting in. So can't find it. Security went through all the cameras. You know what those numbers are in the bins, boys? So they have those numbers on all your bins, right? When you go through security, when they film them, they take video of all these bins going through. So they said, here's your bin number, whatever number it was. And when I took my stuff, nothing was left in it. So it's a conundrum. We don't know what's going on. So Dino shows up, and then he can kind of take a little bit of the story from here, because I've gone through, I've done everything. I've even gone to Air Canada before they landed. I went to the Air Canada desk and I said, look, I've lost my passport, blah, blah, blah. And the lady was in a bit of a hurry, mind you, but she was very, very sharp with me and said, sir, if you don't have a passport, you're not getting on that plane. Basically, that was the story. So,
and then the begging.
Well, not yet. No, this is different. No, so I'll tell that part, but I want you to tell the listeners that the panic I had in my eyes when I first saw you.
Just a little bit, you were a little disheveled, to say the least. You're back and forth, you're running back and forth, you're going everywhere, and I was kind of, I was actually laughing my head off until I realized, you've got all the gear, and, yeah. Whatever. We would make do without you there for however long we had to do it, but not without all the unis and stuff. That was
all the uniforms are packed tough. All the uniforms are packed in my stuff. So then I'm thinking, how do they go through all of the stuff? Like, they got to go through our bags. I got to pull my bags, and then how do I repack those bags to give them all this stuff, Donnie? It was nuts. The craziness of all the stuff that would have to happen. And then I'm thinking, how do I get home? Because my return flight isn't for a couple days. I guess I could have switched my flight, but that would have cost some bucks. Now I'm thinking, do I have to drive home? Do I have to rent a car? Like, it was crazy, man, crazy. So anyways, it's time to board now. So I've been running around for a couple, 3 hours now looking for this thing. And now we go up to the desk, Air Canada desk, to the gate. And all our kids are getting on, and they're all looking at me with these eyes like, bye.
See ya, coach.
Yep. So anyways, the lady said at the front or at the gate, she said, no, sorry, sir, you won't be able to get on, because I didn't know this part. If U.S. Customs decides to do an audit, so a surprise check of all the people on an inbound flight, if everybody doesn't have the right accreditation, Air Canada can get fined up to $100,000. So now I'm thinking, there's no way I'm getting on this plane because there's $100,000 on the line, right? And we had just started, so it's not like we had that in our back pocket. So that's not happening. And then the supervisor came by, and I don't know why it popped into my head, but it kind of popped into my head where I said to the supervisor, here's what's going on, blah, 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 blah. She said, sir, you cannot get into the United States without your passport. And then maybe a light bulb came over my head. And I said, well, technically, I'm in the States because I've already passed through U.S. Customs.
We're on the U.S. side.
Yeah. So give him a loophole. Lose my passport, yeah. So if I lose my passport in the U.S., I have to get that replaced. So the lady then gets on the horn and she calls the guy at U.S. Customs, who, mind you, I've talked to four times already. So he knows exactly who I am. She calls the guy and I can hear on the radio. She explains everything. He goes, yep, he's good to go. I don't know how he's getting home, but he can go. So she let me on the plane. So here's what happens. So I get on the plane and we're all relieved. Oh my God. And then it's like, okay, so how do I get home? So what ended up happening for any of you that lose your passport, this is what happens. Thank God there's a Canadian consulate in Los Angeles. So we practiced. And then the next day I had to go and get my picture taken at Walmart. Got my picture taken at Walmart, went to the, you or they told me what I had to do. Get my picture taken at Walmart. Then I go to the Canadian consulate. There's nobody there. Me and another guy who lost his passport in Vegas. So he had to drive all the way from Vegas to L.A.
Wow. 'Cause
that's the closest consulate, right? Pictures were wrong. My big fat head wasn't centered. So I had to run downtown about five blocks away. I had to get this done within the hour because I was on a time crunch here. Got that done. Anyways, long story short, I got my passport. It cost me $300 for a temporary passport because I couldn't get the 10-year one because I couldn't find my birth certificate either. So who carries their birth certificate with them? Well, who carries their birth certificate with them, right? So anyways, long story short, I spent one extra day in Los Angeles, and cost me $300 for a new passport.
I don't think that's the norm. I think that was very, very fortunate, and I think that that manager had wings. She was like a fairy godmother, I think, that led you
maybe
on that plane.
Yeah. Well, maybe, but...
Well, I'll tell you.
Didn't that lady from the consulate call us while we were on the ball diamond? And know him?
Yes.
That's right.
I'm standing right there, and she goes, she actually looks at me with this look of, I don't know if these guys know who you are.
I think we kind of might maybe had a little fun with her, too.
Well, because I think it was along the lines, is he a short, fat, bald guy?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, Tosh, if you got stuck like that again, perhaps you should have started looking at train routes and hop a train hobo style.
Oh,
you know, get on the rail, bud.
Yeah,
an adventure.
Well, that's not the only, like, along the passports. Savage lost her passport, too. Remember that? And they had to smuggle her across the border. Not smuggle her, but she had to drive across the border, and then...
They found it in her bag. Yeah.
Found it in her bag. Yeah.
Brielle Savage, I love that kid.
That kid.
Yeah.
I blame it on the mom, really.
Yeah, Mindy is the issue.
I blame it on Mindy for sure.
Is there a Mindy story that Razor has, actually? Now, we didn't discuss it offline, but didn't Razor pitch her into a pool at one point, maybe in Georgia or Florida?
Yeah, I just kind of nudged her, and she went in.
She did the rest herself. You just gave her...
Yeah.
And interesting. Yeah.
However, he was considered enough to say, hey, can I borrow your phone for a sec?
Yeah.
Wow. He did get her phone before he threw her in the water.
That's a considerate prankster right there.
Not like Star Tran throwing me in with my friggin' phone in my pocket.
Oh, yeah. There's some...
Yeah, she's...
Oh, Razor, we got a Razor phone story also, actually, on the way to winter training to Edmonton. Razor can't find his phone, looking all over for it, tear the van apart, and it's freezing, by the way, so we didn't want to really be stopped for too long.
35 below.
And unfortunately I had a water bottle that the lid wasn't quite on, so it spilled all over the floor. Now it's ice, of course, because it's so cold, and we're just looking in the morning, going to Tim Hortons to get breakfast, and Razor's, I'm like, hey bud, here's your phone, I got good news and bad news, I found your phone. It is an ice cube, so it's been soaked and frozen. But here is
the carpet.
Yeah,
but you forgot to say that he got out. He got out to have a breath of fresh air, as Razor would call it, right? Because we had stopped on the side at that truck information place or whatever, and we were 20 minutes up the road, and he says, "Ooh, I think I lost my phone." So we had to wheel back on the highway and went back looking for it in the snow in the dark. And didn't find it. But yet it was under his seat the whole time.
It sure was. Yeah. Yep. Taking a bath.
I got one.
Yeah.
2 years ago in Florida, we just finished up the tourney. We're having some parents. Remember, Davidukes were there. We're having, you know, some cool beverages by the pool because Dean and I are getting ready to go to Orlando, right? So we were there in Fort Lauderdale with a couple teams, and then we're going to go up to Orlando. And Dean thought, I'm going to go for a swim. I'm gonna go stand in the pool. So he does.
Slowly.
And slowly. So he goes around the pool and he kind of walks down. And you know how you're on the edge of the pool, you're in the water, and your elbows are up, and you kind of got the Joe Kula look, and he's taking a couple sips off his ballpark bevy or whatever. And I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes in the conversation, this weird look comes over his face.
Yeah.
He walked into the pool. Yeah, he walked into the pool with his phone in his pocket.
It's very painful. That stuff really, really bugs me. It's right up there with watching movies where houses get wrecked and, you know, like, it doesn't give you that good feeling, you know what I mean? And then I don't do well without a phone either because it's email, everything all tied in. Yeah, it wasn't a good day.
And then it gets better.
Yeah.
So we're staying at the Comfort Suites where we always stay in Fort Lauderdale, a beautiful place. There's a Mexican restaurant that we've never been in. We thought, well, let's try that. Let's try it this time. So there's myself and Razor, Dino, and Brielle.
Oh, yeah, Brielle, right.
McCullough was there on the trip. Yeah. And Dino says to the waitress, hey, my phone has been in the pool. Do you have any rice?
Come on.
That I could put my phone in?
Okay.
And she said, sure. So she takes the phone.
It was a Mexican restaurant, so they had lots of rice.
Lots of rice. She takes the phone. She comes back, takes her order. We have some margaritas. We're having a good time. And then we're ready to leave. And Dean says, hey, can I get my phone? And then she takes him back to the back.
Yeah.
And then, Dino, you, the germaphobe that you are, you can tell the rest of the story.
It was in the giant rice tub that they actually served to everybody else. Like, it was literally in the rice tub. Like, all I wanted was just for them to put my phone in a little, like, cup full of rice. Like, I would have bought the rice, like, you know what I mean? But no, behind the counter, their whole great big rice tub, she just digs her hand right into the middle of the rice and pulls my phone out.
Right up to the elbow.
And then I kind of had a few,
So it would have been nice to know Dean was a germaphobe before, because on that same trip where Razor lost his phone, on the way home, we had a very good camp in Edmonton. It was a lot of fun. We're having lots of laughs. And I'm in the back seat, and there's a bag of ice. So I start putting ice in my cup. And Dean happens to look in the rearview mirror, and I, like a savage apparently, have fished out a few ice cubes with my bare hand. And I thought Dean was going to stop the vehicle and throw me out. And he's like, do you got your grubby mitts in that bag of ice?
Grubby paws out of the ice.
And I remember looking at Dean like I felt like a six-year-old. I was like, Razor did it. I didn't know what to do. It would have been a nice heads up that, hey, by the way, Dean is a certified germaphobe. I felt terrible, and I will bring rubber gloves every trip from this point on, or a scoop, you know? There's always ways around.
He's loving COVID. Everybody's got hand sanitized. Nobody's touching him. He's loving it right now. Loving it.
It's a good day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to go over. I want to talk about my first trip actually with the twos, which was to San Diego, which was awesome. I had to drive from Lloyd to Saskatoon in a bit of a storm at like 4 a.m. because of course we got prime time for our flights, and we have to connect in Calgary. And I think to myself, you know what? I got to connect. I don't want to have a bag. So I'm going to bring everything in a carry-on and a backpack and be smart about it in case something happens, obviously. And we have Dion Blackwell on the trip, and she's a bit of a prankster. If anyone knows Dion, pretty good sense of humor and easy to talk to. So, of course, I'm trying to, you know, make some conversation with her. And we get to Calgary, and we all kind of spread out to go to the bathroom, get a drink, whatever. I get a call on my phone, unknown number, which I normally don't answer because it's usually someone saying there's a warrant for my arrest or I owe back taxes or whatever. But I thought this has got to be important. It's 6 a.m, so something's going on. And it's Deborah from WestJet says, hey, excuse me, Mr. Atkinson, we're really sorry to tell you that we've lost your bag. It's on its way to Pennsylvania. You're going to California, so we want you to come to the customer service desk and make arrangements to have this bag sent to your final destination. And in my head, I'm like, oh, man, really? What a nightmare. And it takes me a while to piece it together because it's 6 a.m. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have a bag. So The jig was up, but Dion kept a pretty straight face. So I've referred to her as Deborah from this point on, and she will forever be Deborah. But great, great prank at 6 in the morning when your brain's not functioning for sure.
Did she spill the beans right there in Calgary, or did she wait till Cali?
No, she spilled them there because she said, oh, come meet us at, and it was by a restaurant. There was no WestJet terminal.
Gotcha.
She's in there giggling away, and Razor's giggling away. It was I was the butt of the joke as the new guy, as usual. Yeah.
That is good times. That is good times. Hey, I got one. We were talking about some stories offline, and we do have pictures of this. And Dino, I don't know what it is about him, but he likes wearing women's clothes. And,
stop
and,
it.
No, that is so not correct. He likes wearing women's clothes.
Whoa,
and,
rewind.
And there is evidence of this on two occasions. The first occasion happened in California. We were staying at the La Quinta.
La Quinta.
On our way back through L.A.
That's not ladies' clothes.
Memento, por favor.
Oh, ¿cómo está, hermano?
So it was around 2016, right? And their presidential campaign was going on. This lady, I don't know why, is banging on hotel doors campaigning for Trump. Yeah. And she's got T-shirts. Elect Trump or whatever. And it was funny because Dino, for a little prank, he takes his T-shirt and it turns into a little bit of a crop top, right? So his belly's sticking out. It would have been something like, I don't know,
it was like 14,
a 14-year-old girl would have worn, Donnie, right?
Makes sense. Boy. A lot of 14-year-old girls are voting in the presidential election, so it makes sense they would make shirts for that.
Okay. So when I say this, I think about it and I go, okay, you know, that's funny. And there's a picture of him wearing this thing with his thumbs up. And Carly Phillips is in the background of this picture. You just tell she's just embarrassed, right? So Mona and Barry were probably in the room too. Anyways, flash forward, the same trip that Razor threw Mindy into the pool. Okay, so we're at the Hampton Inn. And Dean and I are doing the Cali trip, and then we're taking off to Georgia. This was in March, so we did the Cali trip, and then we're taking off to Georgia for another tournament. So instead of bringing a whole bunch of clothes, we decided to do some laundry, right? So we did laundry in the hotel. We do it quite a bit. We're on long trips, right?
Right.
So Dino's doing laundry or whatever. He comes back, and he goes, and he picks up this shirt, and it's a little kind of crop toppy shirt. I don't know what was on it. What was on it? It was something.
I don't know. It could have been Mickey Mouse.
It could have been. Yeah. It was a little crop toppy shirt. So what he does is he takes a picture of it and sends it. No, he doesn't send it. He just puts it on, right? And at the same time, Dean Dorchak was going to come down and have an adult beverage in our room. So as Dino gets this thing on, it's knock on the door. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in walks Dorchak. And he laughs, and we're all laughing and having a good time. And what does Dorchak say? Hey, man. My daughter's got a shirt just like that.
I heard that story, actually, yeah.
It was hers.
It was Dorch's,
hers. It was mixed got up left in the laundry, right? But Dorchak doesn't go, dude, that's my daughter's shirt. He goes, my daughter has a shirt just like that.
Just like it, yeah.
yeah. Great pickle, though. Dorchak.
We have
they're famous for pickles, the Dorchak.
Yeah. Oh.
Jen Dorchak puts on a spread in the garage that it's a five-course meal with pickles and cheese and the pepperonis. And
well, I'm sure we could tell that story, too, a little bit about the three battle.
The garage Olympics.
I don't know how we didn't die on that one. Oh, man.
So anyone who does, I'll start the story. All four of us can talk about it for sure. There's winter training in Lloyd, and the Dorchaks were hospitable enough to invite us over. Dean Dorchak doesn't do anything small. His garage is three times the size of my house. He has a full batting cage in his garage. So, of course, after some pickles and some pints, we decide to start...
A couple of Caesars.
Yeah, there's some Caesars, sure. We decided to play what we ended up calling Garage Olympics with a mini bat and then the spin ball, the yellow, the green and pink ball that gets your rise spin right. And we went at it for a couple hours, probably. And we found
very intense.
Yeah, it was intense for sure. We found that Dean Dorchak was for sure the limp wheel. He couldn't throw strikes. He walked everybody around, and then he just threw muffins and people smashed it. It was a real time. A long night spent in the Dorchak garage.
Many many laughs and yucks.
Yeah.
I think there was a couple. Who flung the bat?
took a swing through the bat and almost hit Dorchak right in the nose, wasn't it? Or did he throw it and almost hit one of the
Yeah, I think Dean threw it and it hit, I think it almost hit Abby.
Yeah,
could have been.
And
no, couldn't have been Abby because it was you, me, and Abby against the other three, wasn't it, Donnie?
Yeah. So
well,
Dean
we would have been outside pitching then. They would have been inside the cage when the bat got thrown.
Yeah, but Dean was batting and Abby was pitching and he flung it as he...
Right, but it went sideways. I thought it almost hit one of these guys in the cage.
Well, that would have been the first hit they got all night, Tosh. If you remember, it was a real performance.
Yeah. Oh, and the best part is Dino Dorchak, not Dino Holine. Dino Dorchak is just giving it to his daughter we're going to win and he's going to lead the team to victory and blah, blah, blah. And she got the winning hit off of him.
Yeah.
Or maybe he walked her. It was something. I think walking is better because he had to swallow his pride. He couldn't even throw a strike to his kid.
One thing Dean Dorchak is not short on is bravado for sure. You could give that guy anything. He's like, I'll be the best at it. Give it. I'm in. I'll do it. Bless his heart.
Yeah. I love that guy. Awesome.
We have lots of yucks, and it almost usually is at the expense of others. Once we know people aren't hurt there are usually lots of laughs that happen on the road. And one of them here that I've got is I remember, I don't know if it was again, it was at least 3 or 4 years ago, and Chartrand coming up again, Caroline Chartrand, we're heading to San Diego, I believe. And she's got a carload. I think she's got Gaia's in there with her and Jordy. And of course they always, when they go down, they're definitely going down in style, and they've got this great big FBI SUV.
Urban assault vehicle.
Yeah. It's like a great big Yukon or something like that.
Yeah.
And Caroline is, she's kind of a wily old veteran as far as the parents go. She's been there since the very beginning. And so I think she was probably, I got this. This is where we rent cars. This is where we fly in. This is where we drive. I got this. And, probably looking after the guy as a little bit.
Former cop, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in charge.
So, I mean, like Caroline, I guess they've got their... They're leaving. They go in. They get their rental car. Everybody's packed up, and then they go to leave. And there was two exits, is the way she explained it. One of them has a spike belt on it, facing the wrong way, and the other is probably the exit she should have taken, and made it to the hotel nice and safe and sound. And of course, the end of the story. She not only flattens and wrecks two tires, like when the first two go bang, don't you stop? I don't know. I just wonder.
You should, yeah. Generally, bangs are bad.
But again, maybe she was in pursuit mode or something, and she was just giving her. But anyways, all four tires on that Yukon, explode.
Sure.
Dean, for the listeners at home, how many spare tires does a Yukon come with?
Well.
One most
even me, I'm not a tire changing kind of guy, but I wouldn't be laying down there trying to. Yeah, it was definitely a call, and I think it. I don't know how long it took. You'd have to find out, but I think it was a couple hours before they ended up getting all four tires, brand new tires, and good thing is it was all covered under insurance.
Insurance is an important thing to have, everybody.
I'm looking at this, and you. I didn't hear that part of the story where she said there was two exits. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why the belts would be going the other way on an exit. However, when you take two words and put them beside each other, exit and enter, they kind of maybe look a little bit the same, biggies or whatever. I'm thinking she said there was two exits, but it was actually an enter and she was going the wrong way.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Well, she was definitely going the wrong way. I think that's a pretty good nickname for her too, wrong way.
Wrong way, Chartrand. Oh.
That isn't the only ridiculous rental story we have, obviously. I've got one in California. We were playing at, I want to say, the Field of Dreams parks maybe in California for our first games, and then we had to move to another park, which we were given the address by the tournament organizer. So we put in our GPS. We sent it out to the team. Dean's driving our car. He and I are coaching the 16s. I'm navigating and won't be navigating again likely. But here's the thing. L.A. has a lot of street addresses in it. Very large city. So we put in our GPS coordinates. We get up in the morning. We stop at McDonald's and grab a McMuffin. It's still dark. And we're driving out. And we're driving an hour. And we're near Long Beach. Like, we are by the ocean.
And I just started sweating again.
Yeah. Here it is. So we get a call from Linklaters. And they're like, hey, are you guys almost here? We're like, yeah, we're almost there. And they're like, well, we turned around. This isn't a ball diamond. This is like a shipyard. Huh. Is that right? So we Googled the address. And in fact, there are two addresses. One is in a different city, mind you. And we had to turn around. And Dean, we basically ran this poor Nissan Sentra. Through a Le Mans track. And we are flying. But mind you, I will say this to Dean's credit. We followed somebody else going. And it wasn't one of our team.
Yeah.
Some guy in a nice car. We chase him, we get to the park, and Chartrand again had to run our warm-ups for us, and the girls were getting ready, and we show up late, but we get out of our car at the park. It's a probably 500-yard walk to the actual field. We got out to get our stuff out of the trunk of the car, and I've never smelled so much burnt rubber and oil.
Brakes.
There's dust from the brakes. It was a horrifying. So, note to self. Don't rent the Nissan Sentras in the California area.
If you're going to mess up on the directions. But that was a good lesson for us. Because remember, we've done that before where we just kind of we'll put the address in an email or whatever. And then we click on it instead of actually kind of copy and paste that address into your thing. Yeah. And so we did the old click there. And I remember, we were supposed to be 45 minutes or an hour, right? And then we ended up being 45 minutes to an hour on the other side.
Yeah, we went the wrong way.
And right? I don't even know how we made it.
That's why I like Lloyd, guys. There's one address. You want to go to 25th Street?
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? There's one. So you can't. And the numbers go in ascending from east to west. It's fantastic. Los Angeles, mind you, the city planners have had to double up a bit, apparently.
Well, and the one Dino's talking, another one Dino's talking about the address. Remember, we were in Orlando. And we were playing our first game. We ended up at this park, and when we searched the park,
Bamboo Park. Yeah.
But the kicker was, we played at Boomba the year before. Well, Boomba is all artificial turf. You can't wear steel spikes on it. So the girls, we didn't know. So we get there, and the girls all had to buy nubs, like the 18s, the 16s had to buy nubs or running shoes to play on this because we couldn't have steel spikes. So we get the address and the park name for where we're playing, and I don't know how we messed it up, but we did somehow. We ended up going to this park that you could wear steel. So we didn't think anything of it. We get there. We're at the wrong park. We're actually supposed to be at Boomba. So now, not only do we have to make up time to get there, the girls have to figure out what footwear they're going to wear. That was a bit of a...
There was parents running to stores and coming back. Yeah. It was a
good parent group, though, that does that for you. So I've got two stories about Dean that I've told that I've felt an inch tall. If you ever want to feel like you don't deserve to be in a vehicle with Dean, give him the wrong directions or grab the ice with your bare hand. And I spent that whole hour drive trying to think of a way to smooth it over, and Dean had the look at him like, man, if I could kick that door open and fling you out, you'd be a hamburger, bud.
Yeah, and you want to go to Vegas?
Well, I won't drive there, guys. I won't drive. You know what? I know what I'm good at, and it isn't navigating, and it's not drink making. Although I did bartend for quite a while.
Who is the best navigator?
Brittany.
Yes. Brittany, yeah. Shout out to Britt, our head of HR, who keeps us all in line.
She is amazing.
Yeah, I had Britt in San Diego. You had her the year before in San Diego, and I got her the next year. Yeah, she's wicked awesome. Wicked awesome. Like Cam knows exactly where he's supposed to be and when to be there, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, I would think so. Yeah. She's all messing around. She's got the little OCD thing too, I think, which that's why I really love what she does.
I have the opposite, so details.
That's going to be a whole line thing.
It definitely is a whole line thing. Yeah. Definitely is a whole line thing. We got some golf stories, right? I'll tell a couple here. Dino's got one.
But Dino's is for sure the trump card. It's the ace for sure.
Yeah, well, for sure. For yeah, sure
I need to work my way into that. So
we
you go
stay.
Ahead, Josh.
We stay at the what's the name of the place in Orlando? What's it called?
The Omni.
The Omni. Beautiful, Donnie. Yeah. If you that's another trip that maybe you should whine about not going to.
I'll whine about them all.
It is awesome. You go to the Omni. It's got two championship golf courses around it, but it's a hotel for the tournament, so we get an awesome rate. The rooms are beautiful. They have like a lazy river pool and a wave pool, and it's awesome, man. They got mini golf. They got you name it. They got it. It's amazing. So we've never. The three times that we've been there, the first two times we didn't get a chance to play. We were traveling and we had three teams there, so it got really busy. The last time we went, we only took one team. And so Dean and I had a little extra time. And, of course, we were in Fort Lauderdale before. This is the same trip that his phone got wet.
Yeah.
So we took our sticks and we decided, you know what, let's play this course. So we play it. But in true Saskatchewan fashion, we get there and it is pouring rain. But you know, we thought, you know what, let's play it anyways. And it wasn't cold, but
no, it wasn't
still
bad. Yeah.
Plus 28 and raining, right? So we get out there. Clubs are a little slippy, mind you, but whatever. So Dino is not exactly getting off the blocks.
I'm having a tough day.
Yeah,
it's probably one of the worst.
Yeah. He hit the ball a mile, but it pretty much sliced sideways or hooked sideways every time he hit it. So about the seventh hole, he's had enough of this and he takes his driver. And I'm at kind of the back of the tee box, and he fires it, kind of throws it over my head, kind of towards this other area, right? Whatever. So I giggle, and I get up there and hit my ball. And then I go back and sit down on the cart. He runs over, and he grabs his club, and he fires it again. This time, however, it lands right in the middle of the water hazard, right? So now I'm... And he's been my friend for a long time, best friend for a long time. And when he is really, really upset, if you laugh, it just gets worse, you know. So I'm just kind of sitting there. I got both hands on the steering wheel, right? I'm at 8-2 or whatever. I'm in perfect driving position, eyes forward, right? And he gets on the cart. And he takes this, you can just feel it. And he looks at me and he goes, "That's how shitty that driver is. I tried to throw it at the cart, and it ended up way over there."
No, I was trying to throw it in the bush. I know, like, it kind of went over top of the cart, which was not where it needed to go. And I, you know, I mean, as bad as I'm going to golf, I'm not going to endanger my fellow mates, you know.
Club ended up in the middle of, no, it gets better, Donnie.
Oh, no.
About the 13th hole. He hits the, so he's got two drivers in his bag.
I've got two drivers. Yeah. Neither of them worked.
Yeah. Clearly. Mm-hmm. So he hammers away and loses yet another ball and decides to deposit yet another driver in the water hazard. So that's, I mean, the drivers went exactly where he threw them, that's for sure. But that's what Dino got a new driver.
Yeah, so I know you guys talked about you two have been best friends and, there's been times where Razor and I have been in the back of the van where you two have, it's early morning and everyone's kind of scrambling to get out. And it might have been in Edmonton again, actually.
It was.
Razor and I, like two kids, get in the back seat and Dino and Tosh are at it about the morning rituals and who gets what and how much allotted time do you have to shower. And Razor and they start going at it like we're not even there, like we don't exist. And Razor and I are in the back, and I look over, I'm like, "This is uncomfortable." So yeah, we're like, and Razor's like, "Hey, mommy and daddy are fighting. Can you let us out here? Get us an ice cream." Yeah, that's always a fun time.
Yeah, there's been a few hotels, and I think whatever reason that day was wearing on us a little bit.
That day had just started, by the way, for the listeners out there. It was like 8:30 in the morning, but okay, fair enough. Sometimes that's too early.
I can't tell the story. I can't do it enough justice. I can only tell you what I saw. What I saw looked very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. What I saw looked very sheepish. What I saw was... I don't think our unis have even been that shade of red. before Dino's face.
Okay, enough. Okay, enough. Okay. So we're doing this, right?
Yeah, we are.
Like, for a laugh. For a laugh. This is a pretty big deal. Okay. First of all, I'm going to qualify this. If any one of you guys on this call right now tells me you've never pooped in your pants a little bit, you're all liars.
Dino, I was going to say, I got your back, but no one ever wants to be the first in front to say they did it, but everyone's done it.
And I'm going to also qualify that if any of the kids that are listening on this show, and I pray they're not, if I get any nicknames from this story, they're cut instantly. They are cut instantly without even an explanation.
Yeah.
Okay, so who are we with, Tosh? We're with a couple parents.
We're with David Kleimanaga. And David Kleimanaga, yep.
Are you playing sure
Bears
it's Punga?
Yeah, we're playing Bears Best.
Might have been Heel, wasn't it?
Nope, it was Punga.
Yeah, I don't think the people with you are the important part, but...
Well, I'm sure they've told the story a few times. Sure. But anyways, yeah. So I was not feeling well, and it was not one of the... I know what you're thinking. It was like, I might have had a little too much the night before. No, it was nothing like that. I was actually sick. And so you bugged me about OCD and whatever, and I also get bugged a little bit maybe sometimes about being a little frugal. Right. So we had had this trip planned and again, we went a day early so we could golf this Bears Best in Vegas. And it's one of the most incredible courses I've ever seen. And basically Jack Nicklaus creates 18 of his favorite holes and it's not a cheap course. So the fact that I'm feeling a little under the weather we're golfing. Like, there's no way we're missing this because we've been waiting 6 months here and, it's a beautiful course and, parents are there. And so anyways, before we get started, we go out and we hit a few balls off the practice fairway. And so I I'm not feeling well. Just kind of having one of those mornings and upset stomach and whatever else. And I hit my irons and everything was fine. And then I take out my one wood and I, swing that one a little harder than the rest. And, if I don't maybe have a little shart in my pants,
mm-hmm. Hamburger ass, we call that. If anyone at home is wondering,
So I just said, oh no. And then, everybody's kind of turned around looking at me. And so I literally dropped my club right next to the tee, I dropped, and then I did the shitty walk all the way up to the clubhouse, right? It took a while to get up there, and so I get into the bathroom, and this is definitely a nice thing to say about this golf course. It had the most beautiful washroom I've ever seen. It actually had a sink in the actual men's stall, and I thought for one second that maybe I was in the ladies' washroom, because the ladies' washrooms always have, top-notch stuff, and the guys, whatever, were fending with whatever we have to. But no, this was an amazing, amazing restroom. So I go in, and I'm not getting into, any of the major details, but I do a great job, again, cleaning things up. And but it was beyond, like, there's no way I'm going to wash underwear and, I'm not going, go golf around with wet underwear. So they were donated. And there was also a garbage can right in the frickin' stall with me. So in go the underwear. And I thought, okay, yeah, it's a long day, but there's no way I'm going to have wet underneath my shorts. And there's no way, so I kind of fold up a nice, great big pad of toilet paper, to kind of do the job that the underwear is supposed to do, and I'm fine. It's not like but I'm a little cheapish. Yeah. And so I kind of, let's just say I put the toilet paper where it needed to go. So after a day of golf, you're not going to come out with, a major rash
between your cheeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I go back out, feeling a little better after, obviously doing what I needed to do. And then I come back out and I take a couple more swings and, boys are asking, well, how's it going? And I'm like, well, talk about it later, but I feel a little better and whatever. And as I'm, you know, just finishing up, I take a couple more swings with my driver. I kind of look down, and in between my feet is laying this stupid wad of toilet paper. And, yeah, so, I mean, it was awful. It was an awful, awful experience. And this is how bad the day goes, because I could only get 9 holes in, and that was it. And I had to pack it in, and that was the end of my Bears best. Did we ever get to go do it again?
We did do it again.
You probably shouldn't have, though. I wouldn't get back on that horse.
Yeah, but here's a little, you know, thing, too. So, you know, we're always talking about Canada and our healthcare and U.S. and what they do and blah, blah, blah. Well, I paid $90. I went to the doctor. Hey? I got some new underwear. Yeah, no. I actually just called the doctor, went to the doctor's office, paid $90, and they gave me whatever it is, some magical medicine, and I was basically better by that night.
Yep, he was.
And I don't know what it was, but I was literally, like, I had the flu, for sure, right? And anyways,
Dino,
we don't need to drag that on.
Well, just so if anyone's ever listened to or knows much about baseball folklore, George Brett, Hall of Famer, has a similar shit-your-pants story. I believe he was in Vegas before they had spring camp.
Really?
Yeah. And if you ever Google it, it is one of the funnier things I've ever heard in my life. And they catch him on tape talking to his team in the outfield as they're stretching about what happened and how we had to... And George Brett, Hall of Famer, Dino, so that's good company. So if everyone's out there, oh, how sick. George Brett hit his 3,000 hits. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Thanks, Donnie.
Yeah, hey, man, you're not alone out there.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. No, that's good. And good for you for sharing, because that is a big one for sure.
So why don't you guys share?
I will.
The last time you pooped your pants.
Well,
I know what's happened.
I did just now laughing at that story, so just recently, Dean...
I don't remember the last time, but Dino, it does. It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to admit to that. You left yourself wide open, and I'm proud of you, Coach Poopy Pants.
Now the healing can begin.
Poopy Pants.
Now the healing can begin, Dino.
That is not going to happen. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh,
Coach Poopy Pants.
Yeah.
Hey, so changing gears, because I God.
Please. Banned underwear.
Yeah. We actually, so how, I know Colburn came up with the idea of having a podcast, because he thinks, and Colburn, bless him, but we were in San Diego, got rained out, had to go to El Centro, which evidently is the 8th roughest city in the entire United States. We had a apparently.
Yeah.
We had a great time there, though. And so, of course, we're playing games, and we get to near the end. We're like, well, you know what? Let's get a game where we got Dean, we got Dion, we got Tosh, we got Donnie. Let's just let the coaches throw at like an inter-squad game. And Tosh puts out the performance of a lifetime, obviously, and he's really feeling it. And so we, of course, go back to what we only call the El Chapo suite at the hotel we were at. Dean and Tosh have a balcony. They've got a fireplace. They got a panic room. It's like the nicest room. Razor and I are in a room that has like bunk beds and a hot plate. And anyway, so we go out to the room. We're listening to music. We're having laughs. And we've drank a couple blue cans. And we start just talking away. And Dean's like, hey, stop. I want to record this. So there's an interview out there. Some of the parents have seen it, where I interviewed Tosh basically about his performance. And we had 3 takes. The first take we had to stop because there was too many Irish crickets out there, if you know what I'm talking about. Too many cans in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So we cut. We started again. The second interview, I said the word either sensational or fantastic back-to-back, and Dean's like, cut, enough. Travis Farr is in the back laughing. Razor's laughing. And so then we did the last one, 4-minute interview, no edits, just straight through, and it was unbelievable. And all you can hear is Dino holding the camera, giggling away. It was amazing. And from that, we sort of started doing this. This is why story time happens. It's because of things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the best part, too, is it's on our YouTube channel. You can, it's posted, you can check it out. But, you know, Donnie, it was a lot of fun to do. But the camera work that Dino had was amazing. He was zooming in, zooming out.
Yeah.
And if people don't know what this sound is, That's Dino trying not to laugh through the whole thing. Travis Farr is losing his mind. Oh God, it was funny.
Yeah, Travis Farr couldn't do live TV. He would break every minute.
No, yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of Travis Farr, how about the visit to his place during the camp? Even though it wasn't a twos trip, he had it out there. It was so nice. And I met their dog. Dino met their dog.
Oh. Yes. This is a great story, Donnie.
Yeah, I think I've heard it, but yeah.
Dino can tell his version, then Razor can jump in and give the aftermath because he actually saw what was going on.
Yeah, let me tell the end because it was so funny. Oh man.
Well, I like dogs a lot.
I like dogs. I like dogs.
Yeah, I like dogs. Anyways, I didn't know that they had actually had a dog. So we've been inside and we've been visiting and eating a little bit or whatever. And can't remember what I had to come outside for. But I had to come out to the van.
Charge your phone.
Or no, I didn't come out to the van. I think I was just coming out to... Yeah, I had to come out to the van. Yeah. So anyway, as I'm walking there, I can kind of see out the corner of my eye, they've got some shrubs and kind of trees over to the left. And I see this shape of what looks something like a small horse. And it's black. And it kind of pokes its head through the brush. And we make eye contact. And I think it's a German Shepherd of some sort, right? What kind of dog they have there. But it's a big dog, and it looks at me like I'm a steak.
Boss is his name.
Boss, yeah, well, he's the boss. Anyway, he looked at me like I was a steak, and he just went, did the old grrr, and then he comes at me. And I just bolted like as fast as I could. And the only thing I could do was bring myself up onto the van. There was nothing, so I kind of spring myself up onto the hood of the van, and I remember, like right now, even my leg, there was one leg that I couldn't quite get up, and I was just waiting for it to get just clamped, right? But I'm pulling on the windshield wipers, and I popped the windshield wipers up, and I'm pulling everything to try to get myself up on, and then finally I just get up onto the basically the windshield and kind of sit up on top of the hood. And I was just catching my breath when Razor decided to come outside for some fresh air.
So I was going outside for fresh air, and then I get out onto the step, and oh, this big black dog comes up to me, and I'm like, hey buddy, how are you? And I'm patting him on the head. I'm patting him on the head. And then I look over towards the van, and here's Dean standing up on top of the hood, panting.
My heart was ready to explode.
And I'm like, what's going on? The dog.
Big dog chase. Big dog chase.
And the funny part is I'm sitting there petting the dog.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, you were petting the dog, but the only thing that saved you is you did not see him. He came up behind you and basically kind of like, sniffed your hand, and you're like, hey bud, how's it going? And I'm like, oh my god.
Well, I think look at this. I think it's true that bees and dogs can smell fear, Dino, and there it is.
They smelled a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And I love dogs, but anyway.
And okay, so that
was,
the question,
that was probably
the question,
your second poop incident.
I was gonna say the question had to be asked. With your propensity to fill your pants, did you do that again there?
No, I didn't, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to squeeze your neck the next time I see you, and we're going to see how you do.
Hey, Mommy and Daddy, you're fighting, Razor. Let's switch it up.
Yeah.
I have one, actually. We talked about this a little bit. We're in Florida, and Dion and I are coaching, and we're playing, I want to say, back-to-back-to-back games, and it's not going well in our last game, and Tosh comes over to our dugout, and it's not going well. And this was a I don't know what you call it, but a scouting tournament where you can put a runner in, the same runner
showcase.
In. Showcase, sorry. Put the same runner in every time. So guy like me gets on base, guess what? Someone else comes in who can run. And this one runner went in 10 times. And in that inning, and they're up probably 11-0 at this point. And their third base coach, I'm kind of looking at him like, what are you doing here? Like, I get it, it's a showcase, but knock it off. Anyway, She was running from second to third, and Smitty's playing short, and she kind of gives her the shoulder on the way by on a pass ball. Like, there's no reason to. Then she takes this real big lead off of third and, like, trying to get her catcher to throw down, and it was getting a little long. And Tosh goes, "Hey, what's the score?" I'm like, "I don't know, Tosh, but it's not close enough for this." And he's like, "Okay, fair enough." And so Tosh kind of says loud enough again so that the coach can hear it, "Hey, what's the score again, Donnie?" And I'm like, "I think it's 12-0, Tosh." So again, and they're doing fake bunt steals and whatnot, and the coach looks over, and I'll let you finish the story, Tosh, but it was one of the most fired up our bench has ever got, for sure, with all of us kind of.
Well, we all know, like, from the men's game, that's not how you play it, right? So we still have a lot of the old school stuff in us, right? Where, you know, you got a team down and you're kind of kicking them while they're down and bunting and running when you have a big lead. It's just not done. In the girls' game, it's a little bit different. But I saw it too. Is it? You know, this clearly was a team that was really good.
Yeah,
they were beating us pretty good, and it's not like, and it just kind of gets a little bit demoralizing, and the kids are, you know, it's just not good. It's not sportsmanship is what it is. It's not sportsmanlike to do that. So it's happened a couple times, and Donnie, you can clarify. But normally, when in that situation, I will say it loud enough that the third base coach can hear. Hopefully, then they get the hint, or they ask, and we can say, "Hey, man, like, enough is enough already." But he got a little kind of belligerent.
He did,
about
yeah.
it. Yeah, he got a little. And so, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I did do it on another occasion, so I assume I kind of said the same thing. He said along the things, "We're working on stuff." Did he not?
Yeah, he did,
yeah. Is that the same story?
Yeah.
Same story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just working on stuff or whatever. And I've been known to say in the past to that coach then, "Okay, well, the next girl we're bringing in to pitch is going to work on the inside. If she hits a few batters, don't worry about it. We're just working on stuff." Right. So I'm sure it was kind of along those lines. I don't remember word for word. Donnie, you maybe do, but I'm sure that I was defending the honor of our kids.
1,000%.
And saying like, "Look, enough already, you piece of blah, blah, blah." And, yeah, and then the girls got a little fired up, got a little grit, and, yeah.
Had a bit of a pushback. It's nice, because obviously if you want to clarify, in the men's game, Dean, you're a pitcher that throws real hard. If that happened in a men's game, you can bet there'd be somebody getting dotted pretty hard with one. And then you kind of police itself. Yeah. It just kind of calms down. But, hey, he kind of came back at us like, "Oh, yeah, guys, well, what are you going to do about it? We're working on stuff." We're like, fair enough, so are we, I guess. And then the girls got right riled up. And then after, we had a little huddle after. We're like, "You know what? We don't normally get like that, but you guys got to have enough, you know, pride in the crest on your jersey and like what you're doing out there. We can't let this happen ever again." And we played the very best game with that team against a very good Florida Gators team. I think it was like a 5-3 final. Girls played really hard, worked really hard, and it brought them all together. Sometimes that has to happen. But everyone, Tosh comes in the dugout and everyone straightens right up, and it was something. Yeah, I've never seen it before.
Well, you see some funny things, because that happened to us in California before, too. And I thought maybe it was me and Razor, but there was, you know, kind of the same thing. We're getting a licking and they're bunting and whatever else. They're bunting like over and over. And I couldn't quite figure it out. And again, the men's side, I want to snap, right, because of what happens in our game. But, you know, I think we ended up talking to him, and he said, "We're trying to bunt so that you guys can get some outs."
Right?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, you know what?" So you see some funny things. And I mean, in our game, yeah, you just don't bunt. You don't slap. You don't do any of that stuff. But what they're trying to do is they're actually trying to do us a favor, and they're bunting, so trying to get an out. And we still couldn't for whatever reason. So.
Yeah.
But we learned.
Yep. So, again, from the men's game, there's been a game within the game that is kind of, you know, Dino first introduced it probably in about 1993 or 4, and it's Moorport. It's the Moorport game.
Oh, yeah.
And
do you want me to tell you where it came from?
Yeah. Okay, you tell the story.
95. Then. No.
You tell the story where it came from. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We were in Japan, and we were... That actually, what was on our social media, Britt put that picture of that park with Mount Fuji in the background. That was where I had first heard of Moorport, and we were in a Japanese little pub, and actually Dean Rice from New Zealand was the guy that
kind of got it all going because they were over there as well. And for whatever reason, we learned more pork. And a more pork, for those of you that don't know, is an Australian owl. And a more pork has a few actions, which I can't show you, but a more pork sounds, you know, makes a few sounds. It says more, or it says more pork, or it says woo, right? So, and then there's, of course, actions that go along with it. And so we taught this game to our parents.
So, there you go. And it's a way to consume adult beverages, really, is what it is. And it's a lot of fun. And there, I know we've got some video of it. And essentially, for the more pork game, anybody that's listening right now, all you need to do is make two okay signs, you know, like you're giving somebody the okay, so three fingers up in the circle, and then take those circles and put them on your eye like you're looking through glasses. Now, essentially, you're in the position to play the game. Okay, this is important. So just a group of parents that we had in San Diego, we had a mixture of teams, and we had a boardroom there, and we played a little more pork, and the parents loved it, and we had a lot of laughs, and it was just a great way for parents to get to know each other, and a lot of fun. Okay, so let's fast forward now to March of that year, and we're in Irvine, California. Okay, Irvine, California with the 14th. Yeah. And normally, it's the first time, by the way, that a group of parents asked us if, you know, we would be okay with some family saving some money and getting an Airbnb, so getting a big house for, you know, a group. I think there was five families and five kids or whatever. So we've always thought that, I don't know, like the camaraderie, you know, that kind of thing. But we thought, okay, nope, save some money, let's do it. So tournament's over, beautiful house. They had a pool in the back and barbecue and whatever. So all the parents at the Airbnb invite the entire team and the coaches over for a barbecue on the Sunday night. We're done playing at about, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever it was. So we get over there. Kids are in the pool. Tunes are going. Having a good time. Mm-hmm. Starts to get dark. So the party moves inside. So we're inside, and the girls are in the movie room. Like, there was this huge, massive room, and they're watching movies. So all the girls are together. And the parents are just sitting around, having some sociables, getting to know each other, talking about the tournament, what have you. Then somebody brings up, probably Dino, that we should play a game of more pork because this group of parents, for the most part, knew the game. They had played it before. There were some new ones we had to teach. But so we were moving furniture in this huge, massive living room to make this big circle because you have to sit in a circle, right? And this game starts, and it's, you know, everybody's laughing and having a good time, and they're bugging, and, you know, it's just, it's awesome. And we're loud, and it's just crazy. The girls are screaming. It's a scary movie. Blah, blah, blah. All this, it's just, it's so much fun.
Making a racket.
Yeah, making a racket. So much fun. So, I don't know, fast forward to maybe 9 o'clock that night. Bing, bong. The doorbell rings. And the kids, the parents, we're all playing the game. We're not even answering the door. And the kids run to the door, and I believe it was Rachel Seawack that was first one to the door. She opened the door, and she looked up, and there's a police officer standing there. Apparently, we're making too much noise, and the music speaker that we had by the pool was still out by the pool and blasting tunes, and nobody's out there. So we've created a bit of a noise, right? So picture yourself, all you listeners out there, picture yourself as this cop, basically standing at the door, three girls under the age of 15 answer the door, all giggly because they're all hopped up on, you know, pop and chips and whatever else they were doing. And then you walk through the door and you look into the living room to see their parents. And I remember the question being asked, are your parents here? And Rachel goes, yeah. And she points over to this big circle of a bunch of grown adults looking through fake binoculars playing this drinking game. So everybody kind of looks, and it was like a movie. Everybody's head with these binocular things just kind of shift towards the door to see this cop. So now he's asking questions. Who's in charge? Blah, blah, blah. So being the guy that I have no problem, you know, like stepping up, and it's our program, and I'm going to make sure that, you know, we give this officer the correct information. He said, we're here on a complaint. I need a name for the complaint. I immediately said, Marcy Terpsma. I said, Marcy Tersma. I spelled her last name, spelled her first name, and she just happened to be sitting beside me, get a punch in the arm. Now Avery Tersma is talking about, will my mom get to go back to Canada? Like, there was this whole big thing about her getting stopped at the border because of this noise complaint, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, that's the more pork story, and in no way did that deter us from saying that Airbnbs shouldn't happen, because it was a real cool thing that happened. And yeah, so 222s had a party and the cops showed up.
So another more pork story, sorry to go backwards. We went, I want to say we were in San Diego. I got my first exposure to more pork. So we're sitting around and there's quite a few parents, but people are coming in and out. So it's not like the same group all the time.
Yeah.
So we're going over it. And this is where I was also introduced to Four Locos, which is essentially boozy drink mixed in a Monster energy drink mixed in a sugar like Kool-Aid drink. It is pretty, it's something. So we had a few of those in there, and I remember Miss Bowman saying, oh, I don't really have anything to drink. Like, well, we got you, we'll give you some of these Four Locos. She put it in a cup, a plastic cup, and
hi
Maggie,
liquid, if you can call it that, was eating through her cup by the, like, maybe we're half an hour into the game, and it's coming out the bottom, and I'm like, man, that's in your body. Like, that's not ideal for sure. But those things, I remember we went to a sad story for Razor and I. We went to a 7-Eleven. Well, let's grab a few of those for the road, for the hotel room on the way back. And we're in the 7-Eleven. I'm getting some chew and some chips, and because Razor and I's room is stocked with snacks, like you wouldn't believe, always. And we're in the cooler and grabbing a case of beer, and we're having a few of these Tone Lokes, as Razor started to call them. And this guy comes in, and he's like, oh, you guys are drinking Four Locos, eh? And he was probably 35. I'm like, yeah, they're awesome. He's like, yeah, I had those at my high school grad. They were great. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
They are bad. Actually, you know where they came from is Sydney. My daughter Sydney said, well, when she went down to Galveston, Texas for school, that was what they were drinking back in the Dad, you'd love this, because I'm not a beer drinker, right? So she says, Dad, you gotta try these. They're called Four Locos. And so, yeah, so that's kind of where it came from. But it's basically just like, you know, once you've finished, you know, one of those things, it's just like punching yourself with just a little short jab to the face.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, whoa, what did I just do? What is going on right now? And yeah, those things are potent, because I think we gave one to, we've given them to different parents along the way and just say, hey, have you ever tried one of these? And I think Savage there, before she went in the pool, I think she had one, and I think Gaia's had tried one as well. And you guys were popping off. You guys were bugging me in the first time we were in Vegas, and we were in my room with my mom and dad, who had come visit. And I was laying on the bed, and I'd had maybe two of these, and literally I'm propping myself up because I'm ready to, you know, hit the hay. And I just remember saying to my mom, who I can't believe I said it, was, Mom, you don't have to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here.
My dad
looks at me, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Tone Lokes. But then you guys tried it, and then you guys realized, I think it was, we were down in Atlanta the first time, and you guys tried them, and yeah, you had to admit that they were pretty potent.
Hey, Dean, you know who wasn't making fun of you about drinking those in Vegas was me. And do you know why? Because I've never been with you guys in Vegas, so thanks for bringing that up again.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Donnie.
Oh, please.
We were just talking about Vegas, and
mm-hmm.
Are we doing parting shots?
We should probably. Should we? We're over an hour. Yeah,
I think we should. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Dino. You look like you got
Razor?
One teed up. No,
Razor?
No, I don't have any parting shots.
You got no parting shots?
Have you not
got no guests,
hey,
to think?
Yeah, listen, you've listened to all these podcasts, and we've listened to some of these podcasts together on the road, and you've been nothing about, oh, you guys are always picking on me, blah, blah. This is your chance.
This is your chance
to voice your concern with the way you're being treated in the podcast.
I'm being the bigger guy here. I'm not.
Oh.
I'm not stupid to you guys' level.
Hey, I got one for, I'll do it on Razor's behalf, though, because this is a good Razor story. We had winter training in Lloyd last night.
And we're doing our warm-ups, we're going through everything, and I'm looking at our charts, and we've got, you know, 11 pitchers, but only two catchers, and Razor's walking through the line. We're watching girls warm up, and he comes up to me, and he's like, hey, do you know that girl over there? And she was a U14 girl, and I'm like, yeah, I've worked with her before. Why isn't she catching? I'm like, well, I've seen her catch before. I've worked with them with their pitchers and catchers in the 14s. I know she does. So go over there and talk to her. So I just walked over. I'm like, hey, how come you didn't sign up to catch? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, listen, you don't have to. But if you ever want to learn from what I would say is the very best catching instructor around, put your gear on and go work with Razor. And her eyes is lit right up, and she wasn't planning on going. Razor worked with her, and she was awesome. Like, so
She was awesome.
Was really so I was really happy with that. The Razor picked it out from her throw and was like, hey, I want to work with that kid right now. And boom, she went over, jumped in. It was awesome. Great story. So Razor, there's your shot right there, bud. On your
Thanks,
behalf.
Bud.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You got
Very
it.
Nice.
Wow. So, Donnie, you're going to get two shots then.
Sounds great then. Very good. No, I'll leave that. I leave that
you
there.
You leave that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go next. It's not really a shot. It's more of a, you know what, when we thought about different ideas with the podcast and different guests and that sort of thing, and we kind of thought, yeah, let's do one where we tell some stories. And again, this isn't a shot. It's more of a thank you, because although we maybe picked on a couple parents or we told some stories that parents were involved, I mean, they are what makes this wheel go, right? And our parents have, you know, we talk about our kids all the time being fantastic teammates, and man, they work hard and we're so proud of them, but it's really the parents that make things go around. And we've been really lucky, because I say it jokingly, and language isn't really, it's not harsh, but we've had one dickhead parent in 7 years, and you know,
harsh.
they didn't last very long. Right, they didn't last because they didn't fit, and but the rest of the parents that we've had over the years, and unfortunately, there's some parents out there we haven't even met face to face yet because of COVID. So they come to the practice facility, drop their kids off. So we got to figure something out there. Maybe it's and now it's a little bit cool, but we gotta figure out a way where maybe the kids leave and the parents can come onto the turf. You know, because we can only have the 30 yeah. people on there. Maybe we can meet face to face, but we'll figure something out. Parents, we'll figure something out. But I wanted to say that, like, we have a lot of fun in this program, obviously, but it wouldn't be near as fun without some of the awesome parents that we have. So.
Yeah, you think of all the stories we said today. It always has something to do with somebody else, really, typically, right? So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, good people.
All right, Dino, you're up, bud.
Well, I kind of have something official to say.
Okay.
I don't know if this is our last podcast ever, Tosh?
Is it bigger?
Well, I don't know, but I don't know if it's our last podcast ever, but it would definitely be.
What are we going to talk about?
It's pretty monumental. Yeah, it's pretty monumental for sure. It's a pretty big announcement, I would say.
Well, quit teasing.
Right. So, Donnie.
Yep.
We'd like to officially
stop it. I'm going to cry.
Invite you to Vegas.
Come to Vegas.
Come on, fellas.
If we can go, all the whining, and I'm not going to lie to you, the 45 emails that we get a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying take Donnie to Vegas, but yeah.
Boys, you just made me the happiest boy alive. Oh, let's clear that border and head to Vegas.
Oh, baby.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to come up with a lot more work now, because that's going to take up 15 or 20 minutes of every podcast that we've had.
Oh, I got material, boys. I got material.
Yes.
Oh, you fellas.
It's not so much, please, I want to go to Vegas. It's going to be, I can't wait to get to Vegas.
Yeah, now the countdown starts, boys. Woo.
Yeah.
Listen to this. What a great day. This is like Christmas for Donnie. Oh, baby. Thank you to all my supporters who have called in and emailed in and said, even some of our guests, like, come on, just take this poor kid to Vegas. You know, it's culmination of a lot of good things here.
Whenever something good happens, something negative has to happen. It's just the yin and the yang. It's the way the universe works, right? So. Yeah. Razor, we'd like to officially uninvite you to Vegas right now. I'm kidding. No, you guys have to be there together for sure. So,
oh man.
Yeah.
Let's go, yep. Boys. I love that. Well,
I know. It's, you know, talking about all these trips and stuff, it kind of gets you a little, you know, wishing we can be traveling. So hopefully we get some good news here in the next coming months, right, or whatever, yeah, however long it takes. But we got to get back there. It's,
well, the one thing we can say is that the next time we're in Vegas, whenever that is, you'll be there.
So this isn't extended if it doesn't go this year. I get yes.
Right.
I'm yeah. Baby. Yeah.
There's no loopholes, is there?
No loopholes. No.
Well, until then, we got a big team practice this weekend that I'm pretty excited about going to and sticking my chest out and saying, ask me who's going to Vegas. I'll give you a hint. His name rhymes with Ronnie, and he's right here. Woo! Yeah, boys, that's awesome. Well, on that note.
Don't wear your Elvis suit to practice.
Well, not to practice. That's more of a going out shit. Yeah, like that's an uptown outfit, boys.
That's your
awesome. Right on.
Let's end on that, boys. That's amazing. Yeah. You've made my whole week. I'm going to book the time off right now. See you fellas later. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.